You're tuned in to the Todd Coconato Show, otherwise known as The Remnant, one of the most listened to podcasts in the Christian community. You can visit our website, toddcoconato.com. And now broadcasting live around the world from Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee, here's the host of the show, Pastor Todd Coconato.
What is God saying to America? What is he saying to you? What is he saying to me? What is he saying to Christians? There was a lot of talk this last week about a lot of things that were going to happen during the solar eclipse. Well, praise God, we're still here. And we got through the whole thing without a major, you know, terrorist attack or anything that some of the people were reporting could happen potentially. I mean, there were some people saying the grid could go down, the power could go down, all these different things. Well, praise God, we're still here. And so, but I do believe God is giving us a series of signs and warnings. And what is God saying to America? What is he saying to the church? Listen, I'm going to cover some things in today's broadcast that you're probably not going to hear a lot of preachers talking about. In fact, you might not hear any other preachers talking about these things. But I think they need to be addressed because we're going to look at a bunch of different topics, whether it's Israel, the deep state, the Bible, very important, the upcoming election. We're going to get into some of these subjects. Of course, the eclipse that just happened. And some of the warnings that some folks that I believe are legitimate prophetic voices in America did put out as far as what this could potentially have been, a sign from heaven, even though we've seen many of these eclipses over the years, not as many as a lot of people are saying, but they have happened before. But usually they're during pretty pivotal time periods, just kind of interesting. And so just like when Jesus was on the cross at Calvary and the sky got dark, was that an eclipse? Some people say maybe. During the time of Jonah, when Jonah went to warn Nineveh, some folks are suggesting that there was a solar eclipse during that time. So there's been a lot of talk about it. Well, we got through it. But what is God actually saying right now? And are we listening? Are we heeding his warning? I think that there are many, many things that we could talk about. One of the things that I want to talk about is our economy. We're in an election year, and according to Drudge and some of these other online publications that seem to be pretty friendly to the Biden administration, they're saying, hey, we're in this boom. But are you feeling that? Are you feeling that in your pockets, that we're in a boom? I mean, do you feel like you have more money now than you ever have? Or do you feel like things are getting very expensive with inflation? It's harder to buy groceries. It's harder to go out to eat. It's hard to even repair your car. Have you tried, by the way, to repair your car recently? It's harder to get parts. It seems like there's continued supply chain disruptions. We saw a lot of that during the COVID era. We learned that microchips come from places like Taiwan, and there's all these different things with semiconductors and parts that are coming from this entire global supply chain that could be disrupted when there are a series of events that happen, something like a quote-unquote pandemic or any type of disruption, a war, or let's just say they close down a canal somewhere, or the trade routes get disrupted, or pirates. I mean, there's so many different things with regard to globalization and the global trade routes and what they've been pushing us towards for most of our lives. I remember when they made China most favored nation status, and that really opened up the communist country to the World Bank and to trade with a lot of Western nations that has developed ultimately into now making China a superpower on the world stage, because what they did is they invested in their infrastructure, they invested in their military capacity, and China doesn't have the same regulatory issues that we have here in America with a lot of the different unions and all the different, minimum wage and workers' rights and things like that. So they also don't have the environmentalists like we have here in America. So there's a lot of things that limit our abilities here in America, for instance, to drill in places like Anwar or to, become more energy independent under a Democrat, a regime, Democrat administration like this current one. One of the first things that Biden did when he came into office was stop the Keystone XL pipeline, if you recall. And during the Trump era, we had an energy independence that was pretty remarkable in the short period of time that he was president. And Biden has upended that in many ways by really I mean, he has absolutely dwindled down our strategic oil reserves. And I think that's very concerning. And it's almost setting us up. In fact, it is setting us up as a nation for a real perilous situation should we ever need those reserves. Now, for whatever reason, the Biden administration seems to be pretty flippant about the fact that they've done this, but they have not yet. In fact, I think he just came out recently and said they weren't going to replenish it at this time for some reason. I don't know exactly what the reasoning was behind it, but regardless, there's a lot of little things that if you know, look at them individually, it's not such a huge, massive deal, but when you look at them collectively and you see all the different data points, you think, my God, we're in trouble. And this is why a lot of Christians, a lot of you are really concerned, because you're looking at the border and you're seeing millions of people coming over the border. You're looking at things like what I just mentioned, where Biden has basically dwindled our strategic oil reserves. You're looking at how he's limited us on the drilling capacity in the Keystone XL pipeline. And, you know, we think about how we exited Afghanistan with the billions of dollars of equipment that was just left there. Why? Why was that equipment left there? What was the purpose of leaving billions of dollars of American equipment there, other than to literally give it to our enemies and allow them to reverse engineer our technology? I mean, this is what they did, if you recall, during the Obama administration, when we had a stealth drone that was over Iran that they were able to recover, which we could have blown up. We had a SEAL team or, you know, some type of team that was inside of Iran. I don't think it was a SEAL team, but it was some type of operatives inside that could have got to that and blown it up. They were pretty close to where it fell, you know, and the order was given to stand down to allow the Iranians basically to take that drone. And if you recall, during the Obama administration, do you remember when the American sailors were captured during the Obama years? A lot of people forget about these things. Just horrible things that we'd like to forget about, because it's so egregious to think about how we went from Reagan to this. And, you know, even Donald Trump, who was, I think, a good president for the most part. I mean, he did make some, you know, judgment mistakes, I think, with some of the people he put in. And a lot of that was bad advisors. But, you know, overall, his America First policies, bringing back jobs, manufacturing, very pro-Israel and pro-religious liberty and freedom, which was a big deal for me. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why I'm so active and involved in these different areas, including politics, is because if we are by the laws of the land, if our religious liberty and freedoms are taken away from us, we don't just get those back, friends. That's it. And that impedes my ability as a pastor to be able to share the good news. Now, of course, I'm going to do it anyways. But the thing is that, you know, we want our children, our grandchildren, to have these same rights that we've enjoyed as Americans for so long. And now they are in jeopardy. And so we know the leftists, the communists, the people that hate America, that are up there in Dearborn, Michigan, that are saying, death to America, they would like to see all these things taken away. They'd like to see order out of chaos. They'd like to see a rebirth of a new nation without the constitutional rights and freedoms that we have. I think they want a global government. I think they want a one-world global government. That certainly is what Satan wants. If you think about the Tower of Babel and Nimrod, he's been trying to accomplish this for a long time. And this is the first time since that period of time of Nimrod, where now we have globalization, where it's basically kind of happening again, what happened there. And so at this time, God hasn't scattered the folks and created different groups of people with different languages like he did then. So this is a demonic agenda that's moving us towards the end times. We are already in the end times, obviously, but it's moving us toward the end of the end times. And so we're seeing the prophecies literally jumping off the pages of the Bible right now. I mean, there's so many different areas, whether you look at what's happening in the Middle East, you look at what's happening with the war over there, you look at the Euphrates River drying up, which is another biblical prophecy. Not a lot of people talking about that. But there's been certain parts of the Euphrates that have dried up. There's been the heifers that are now in Israel. What? Red heifers in Israel? And by the way, it's imminent as far as any day now, they could possibly sacrifice these heifers and then usher in the era of rebuilding the temple. What's that period of time going to look like? I mean, we're in some pretty crazy end time prophecy. You're seeing Gog and Magog starting to come really into focus now with the alignments of the countries. And so what is God saying to America? What does he actually want from us? What does he want from the church? Well, you got a lot of people online saying many things, And I think a lot of these folks, you know, I'm just going to be real with you because I don't know what else to do. I think a lot of these folks are looking for clickbait. I think a lot of these folks are trying to get views and followers. And so they don't really have any care whatsoever about credibility. They'll capitalize on an eclipse. They'll capitalize on anything to grow their following. And then they'll just pretend like they never said it or just move on like, oh, I never, you know. So, you know, and a lot of people, a lot of precious people, some of you have been caught up in some of this clickbaity stuff online. And what they do, just like the devil does, is they use an element of truth, but then they exasperate it. And that's why there's a lot of people walking around fearful right now. Well, we shouldn't fear. We need to occupy until he comes. And God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. So when we come back, we're going to talk about what is it that God actually wants of us. What is he saying? We'll be right back. This is the Todd Coconato Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Coconato Show, otherwise known as Remnant News, and we're so thankful that you're here today. By the way, we have an app, and you can get it in the App Store. Very simple, Todd Coconato Ministries, C-O-C-O-N-A-T-O Ministries. It's a red R. We have several thousand of you that are on there now. We broadcast these shows on there live, and it's a way to get around the censorship of the online social media companies that hate us. They hate when I say they don't want us to be able to speak freely like we are doing on this show. So please download the app. Please. I know you got a lot of apps on your phone, but it really helps us when you download the app. And it makes it worthwhile because we spent a lot of money on this thing. So listen, Darkness Over America was the headline over the eclipse. Darkness Over America. It made me think, what is God actually saying in this hour? Well, there's a lot of things that I haven't talked about recently, but one of the things is digital currency, CDBC, Central Bank Digital Currency. I'm sorry, CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency. These are these digital currencies similar to, the cryptos, but different. This is a central bank digital currency. And this would actually, in some cases, some people say they may get rid of the other cryptos. We'll have to see how that plays out. A lot of people are hedging their bets and, ways for somebody who maybe doesn't have enough money to get gold and silver, but they can buy some crypto. There's a lot of people around the world right now buying cryptocurrency, and that's because they can see the instability of the markets and the dollar and the fact that the value of the dollar globally is going down pretty significantly because a lot of countries are de-dollarizing. They're getting out of the dollar. Now, not completely, but they're definitely starting to do more unilateral trade deals. We see the BRICS, which is Brazil, Russia, India, and China, and that bloc, South Africa, rising up right now. And they are actually a force to be reckoned with, whether people understand it or not. The BRICS is a big alternative to the dollar denomination system, and they are building an alternative to the SWIFT system, which China is very much a part of, because they are tired of sanctions. Russia's tired of sanctions. All these countries are tired of U.S. having the ability to sanction them. And if they simply usurp the dollar, get out of the dollar, go around the dollar, develop their own system, they don't have to worry about sanctions. As we've seen in Russia, the sanctions haven't really made too big of a difference. I have friends that live in Russia and live in Moscow, and they tell me that actually life's pretty good. Our quality of life's pretty good right now. People are actually happy with Putin and his leadership. They're happy that he's standing up to the Western central bankers. They're happy that Russia is prospering in the oil markets, and there's a lot of money coming into Russia from China and other countries. And so Russia's actually doing pretty good despite the sanctions. But this is a big turn of events because back in the day, only 10, 15 years ago, sanctions from the United States would be pretty destructive to any economy, as we've been imposing them on Iran and other nations for a long time. But the thing is that the sanctioning power is not so powerful anymore because there's now alternatives to the dollar hegemony around the world, to U.S. dollar being the global reserve currency. There is now cracks in the system. They're actually pretty big ones. And at this point, what's happening is the U.S. is printing its way out of this, and that's pretty much their only option. They only have two options. One of them is to print. One of them is to go to war. So they're printing right now. It looks like they're trying to go to war, too. Some of these people, like in Eastern Europe, what's been happening with Ukraine and us sending billions of dollars of aid and equipment, and NATO basically getting involved, even though they're saying they're not in direct conflict with Russia. It certainly appears that they are at this point. And they're losing, by the way. They're not winning that war. That war is being lost. Russia is again making the West look pretty weak in the way that this war is playing out. A lot of people thought that it would be over much quicker and that the West would just have so much advanced technology over Russia that it would just dominate. Well, that hasn't been the case on the battlefield. And so the argument has been with the neocons here in America is like, hey, you know, you just need to, we need to fight it over there so it doesn't come over here. That's really not actually what's going on there. That's a civil war that's been happening there. You know, the ethnic Russians that live in the northern part of Ukraine in the Crimea, they wanted to be part of Russia because of the absolute disaster that Ukraine is. It's a very corrupt country, and their systems are very corrupt and not well working. And so a lot of these guys just said, I want to be part of Russia. And so they voted, and Russia substantiated that and said, yes, you can be part of our country. And they allowed Crimea. They basically took over Crimea, which was at one point Russia. And this has been a disputed territory for a very long time. And the U.S. and the NATO allies have gotten involved in this for whatever reason. And they've been provoking Russia by continually going closer and closer to their borders. And again, I'm not a pro-Russian guy. I'm not pro-Putin or pro-Russia. But when you look at the entirety of this situation, you realize what happened in 2014 during the Obama administration, what happened during the Orange Revolution, and many of the things that have gone on, even the government that's actually in power in Ukraine, which some would suggest that they are, I can't even say the word because it's kind of similar to Hitler. But if I say it, they'll literally take down they were taking down my feeds when I was exposing this. They were taking down my pictures when I was exposing this a while back. So this is a hot button issue, and we've poured billions of dollars there, maybe even to the tune of trillions at some point. And yet not getting the result that the West has wanted, or maybe they are. Maybe it's just a big money laundering thing. Have you ever thought of that? Who, is some of this money making its way back to America, to the elections? It's interesting that some of the weapons that have gone to Ukraine have made their way all the way to Israel. Amazing. And some of the weapons in Afghanistan made their all their way to Israel and to this front against Israel. Amazing. Amazing how that happens, right? So anyways, what is God saying with all these different things? Well, I think that this is a systematic changing of the guard on the world stage, and we are seeing the infrastructure for the Mark of the Beast system being put together, and it is accelerating. The birth pangs are accelerating. Why I knew that the eclipse itself wasn't going to be the main event is because all of these things are signs. They're signs of the times, and the spiritual astute watchman Christian that's in your prayer closet, my prayer closet, where we are inquiring of the Holy Spirit, there certainly is an urgency on our heart. There certainly is an understanding that these are extraordinary times and that the Bible is indeed coming to life before our eyes and that we're seeing prophetic events. But the question is it right now? And the answer to that, in my opinion, is no. My opinion is these things are going to continue to increase. We're going to see more and more prophetic events. We're going to see things that honestly blows our mind even more than some of the things that have blown our mind so far, like with COVID and everything that happened. Those things were the beginnings of the acceleration period, which has been happening for quite some time, but it continues to accelerate. And so we are seeing them call good evil. We're seeing them call evil good. We're seeing Christians be continually more marginalized, conservatives more marginalized. And we're even seeing a separation in the church from the wheat and the tares. We're seeing exposure happening in the body of Christ because judgment comes first in the house of the Lord. And so there are so many different things happening at once that we should, if we are a watchman, if we are somebody who has the eyes to see and the ears to hear, if we're somebody who's in the Word of God, we should be able to see all of these things happening at once and really pray and seek God as to what it is that we can do. And that's why a good portion of this ministry has now become dedicated to these questions, because unfortunately, there is still a large group of Christians that are saying nothing about any of this. And yet you get it and I get it. So then the question is, well, what the heck do we do? And can we do anything? And what does God want us to do? So listen, these are very important subjects and we've got to get into them. So is darkness over America as the Drudge Report said in their headline? Yeah, there is darkness. But guess what happens? In the darkness, the light shines brighter. Many of you realize that during the eclipse itself. And so we're going to shine and we're going to talk about what God wants from us, how we respond. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd Coconato Show, Remnant News. Pastor Todd Coconato here. PastorTodd.org is the website. PastorTodd.org. Thank you so much. By the way, we need your support. I am a voice in the wilderness. This is David versus Goliath, and we need your help. So please, if you have a heart to help a ministry that's actually standing, it's actually speaking out, because people always say, well, we wish somebody would do it. Well, here I am, and there's a high cost. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but we need monthly supporters. We're going out to a lot of different channels. I mean, we're on all these different channels now and everything, all by God's grace. But we need your support. So please, please help us out. Please. What is God asking us to do? Let me finish my conversation, because I had somebody in the peanut gallery over here tell me, you've got to finish your thought on the CBDC. So I believe we're in this transitional period right now, and that there's probably going to be some type of big event. I've called it a black swan event, possibly in the near future, probably in the next 2 to 3 years, I would say. Watch for it. Watch for it, that they're going to come out, and it might even be a little bit longer than that. And they're going to say, listen, this event happened. Maybe it's a cyber attack. This event happened, and because of it now, everything is messed up. We're going to have to change the way we transact. And in light of this major event, we are going to roll out the central bank digital currency system, which is much more capable to fight this type of attack, and it'll put us in a better position, and you're just going to love it. And honestly, at first, people are probably going to be like, yeah, that's great. Now, people like myself and you, we're going to understand what's going on, but there's going to be a good amount of people that are going to be like, well, I guess this is what we need to do, just like after 9/11. You know, we need to have this Patriot Act, you know, to protect everybody. You know, we need to go to war in Afghanistan. We got to go to, and then we're going to go to war in Iraq, you know, and because he's connected somehow. You know, years later, we look back and we're like, what was that all about? Well, it was actually part of a bigger agenda, wasn't it? And just like the Arab Spring, remember that period, the Arab Spring and all the social media events that led to the toppling of certain governments in the Middle East, and the Coptic Christians. Remember the Coptic Christians were under attack, and then there was this massive migration that happened from the Middle East into East, you know, actually Western Europe, and it changed forever France and Germany and some of these other countries. And so these things have been going on for quite some time. It's all part of a greater agenda. And that's why sometimes we just have to zoom out and look at the big picture and understand these people are methodical. They take their time. They're not in any rush, but they do allow these major events to then shape the way and the direction. They already have the legislation, you know, hundreds and hundreds, thousands of pages of legislation just sitting on somebody's shelf somewhere ready to roll out when there's a major event, because the left says never let a good crisis go to waste. But are they actual events? Are they just happenstance? Or are a lot of these things orchestrated? Are a lot of these things actually part of the plan? Well, that's the question, isn't it? And so we're seeing these types of things happen. And that's why a lot of people are running around freaked out, scared. A lot of Christians scared, freaked out. I hear it all day long. You know, I mean, that's why when we led up to this eclipse, there were so many people that were really, really scared. And they were legitimately scared. And if that's you, I'm not here to mock you. But I just want you to be careful of some of the voices that you're listening to, because some of the people take real things and then they add a bunch of other things and they get a lot of clicks and a lot of likes and they put ads on those videos and things like that. And they're actually making pretty good money off this stuff. But not that's not right. If you want a long-term relationship with folks, especially if you're Christian, you're a leader, you got to make sure that you have integrity. And that's not going to be a clickbaity thing, you know. I mean, you got to. Now, I'm not against getting money for ads, or, you know, you got to keep the ministry going or whatever it is that you're doing. I understand there's bills, you got to do that, but do it with integrity. Do it with a way that you don't scare the heck out of the folks, and actually share. I mean, because I just think that there's something to it in the anointing that you carry. That if you do keep it, you're an integrous person. You keep it, you know, righteous. And you do things the way that you should. I believe not only God's favor is on you, but people are blessed by that, because they're like, thank God somebody actually has integrity. Thank God that this person isn't trying to make, you know, a bunch of money, become really wealthy off me. They're actually doing it because they care, you know, because that means a lot. People are looking for authenticity and they're looking for realness. And we have to answer to God. Every one of us has to answer to God one day. Now, that being said, is there actually a lot of things that are happening? Yes, there certainly is. So what is God saying? See, I believe all of these things are God's hand trying to wake up the slumbering church, trying to wake up the seeker-friendly model, people that have just had their heads buried and act like it's 1999, business as usual, don't have any urgency in their spirit, don't see any of these things, just like what happened in Nazi Germany, very similar to what happened in ancient Israel. A lot of these folks, there's syncretism right now that's been going on for quite some time where Christianity has been syncretized with other religions, New Age, some other religions, where people don't even know the Bible because they've been listening to pastors that don't know the Bible. Scary, but true. Pastors that don't even have a biblical worldview, and yet somehow they're a pastor. Pastors that have never really even studied the entirety of the Bible. Don't even really know the context. Don't understand the Greek and the Hebrew. Don't get into deep study at all. They take one verse and they construct a whole message around it, and a lot of times they don't even know what the verse actually meant. It's crazy, but it's happening. So, you know, it's funny when you go to a, it's not really funny, but when you go to a surgery, when you have surgery, you know, you expect your surgeon to have gone to medical school to understand the anatomy of the human body, to know how to actually perform that surgery so that you're not going to die. And so, you know, that's what we believe when we go to the surgeon, when we go to a doctor and then we get a referral and then we go to a surgeon and we have a surgery, we put our trust in the hands of that surgeon, that doctor, just like we do when we get on a plane. You know, if I'm getting on a Southwest Airlines flight, I probably have never met the pilot before. I don't even know who the heck the pilot is. And yet I'm trusting that they have their pilot's license, that they've flown enough hours, and that they, you know, they are equipped to fly that Boeing 737, whatever. You know, I mean, this is what you need to understand. Why is it that we do that with surgeons and with pilots, but when it comes to our spiritual health, we eat junk food. We learn from people that don't even know what the heck they're talking about. We sit here on these videos and what we found is talented people that have learned how to get clicks and likes. I'm sorry I'm going off on a tangent here, but have learned how to get clicks and likes and make good content and videos. And so instead of going into deep study over what they're talking about, they just have made a great presentation and made it sound really good, just like kind of like the devil in the Garden of Eden. Yeah. And this is why so many folks are walking around confused, tired, weary, beat down, and really pessimistic about the current situation. But meanwhile, God is raising up a standard, because when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard. And so what do we do? Listen, it may look different for each and every one of us, but what God wants us to do is to go back to our first love. As a nation, he wants us to stop supporting evil. He wants us to stop supporting the killing of our most innocent societal members, babies. He wants us to stop promoting all these very ungodly and demonic lifestyle choices, gender confusion, all this stuff that is absolutely a cesspool that is corrupting an entire generation of young people to the level that we don't even fully understand at this point yet. I mean, surgeries, reassignment surgeries, and just mutilations, all different types of things that are currently happening, pumping these young kids with chemicals, man-made substances, estrogen mimickers, and all kinds of things like that. I mean, our food supply is tainted with GMOs and different types of things like that. There's so much. I mean, every direction that you look at, whether it's the content that comes from Hollywood, the streaming platforms like Netflix, we're seeing the corruption in every single aspect and area of our society. And so what God is looking for is a people that will come out from among this Babylon nonsense, that will come out from among and be willing to stand like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego for righteousness, no matter what people say online, no matter what somebody says on your Facebook post. Now, you don't do it in a way that's like rude or mean or anything like that. We're known by our love. We're known by our fruit. But we are a generation that is called to take a stand for righteousness. And I'm thankful that I see a current that is rising up of people that are doing this more and more. Now, that may look like to you. One of my friends just texted me the other night and said, hey, I organized a Jesus march in my city, and I didn't even think anybody was going to come, and all these people showed up. And next thing you know, we were marching through the streets of our downtown singing praise songs. Hey, you know what? That's making a difference. God may put something like that on your heart, or maybe completely different. I mean, I know he did for one of my preacher friends, you know, that went around the country, Sean Foyt. He started going around the country and playing at different places during COVID. And you know what? It was counter what the deep state was doing. He was saying, hey, we can worship freely. That's part of our Constitution. He got some flack for it, but ultimately that's what he did. And, you know, I can go on and on, story after story, that I often quote in our sermons. You know, we go back to Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you know, and the fact that he was a man that was standing in that very critical hour. And now, listen, the deal is, though, if you do get raised up in one of those scenarios, you got to keep it real. And I'm not saying that any of the people I mentioned didn't, but I'm just saying, like, if God, let me give an example. I'll just use myself for an example. We started seeing a lot more people listening to the radio show, the podcast, the ministry. And so if I took that and then, you know, started living extravagantly and doing all these different things, well, that would be wrong. Like, what we do is we pour whatever comes in right back to the ministry. We're not changing. I mean, we're fine. My wife and I, we don't need to have all these extravagant things. What we desire is listen, we get more money for the ministry. We're going to go on more shows, more channels, get the message out there more, go to more cities, have more events, wake up more people, give more resources to folks. I mean, you know, that's what we're thinking of is like, look, I mean, the more money that comes in, the more that we're able to do to affect the culture. And I'm not saying that we're like, oh, the gold standard over here, but I'm just saying that's what everybody needs to do. When your ministry or whatever it is that God opens the door, gives you more territory, keep it integrous. Keep doing the mission. Because what happens is a lot of people get corrupt. And we can't do that. So this, what God wants us to do is each of us to take a stand somehow, some way. You could do it at your job. You could do it at your kid's school. You could do it at your church. Maybe some of you are being called to start a ministry. And listen, that's not for everybody. But some of you may be having that on your heart. I have some friends that are ex-police officers that God has put marriage ministry on their heart. I believe that God is going to use them in a mighty way to restore marriages. We need that in our country. We need it in the church. So maybe, you know, there's another lady that has a real heart to get people off of addictions. Yeah, we need that. Another couple that has a heart to get folks delivered. Hey, we need to get folks delivered. There's a lot of demonized people. We were in the church service the other night, and God was speaking to me that there were some folks right in that service that were witches, that were trying to pray against what God is doing. And you know what? We found out there was. So listen, God is speaking. Are we listening? And what are we doing? What he's looking for is an activated, on fire church. When he says he's coming back for a church without spot nor wrinkle, what he means is he's coming back for a church that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. That isn't dilly-dallying. That isn't the church of Laodicea. That isn't the dry bones church. That isn't the church that's worried about fattening their pockets and nothing else. I'm not against you being prosperous. I'm not against you flourishing. I think God wants us to flourish. But that's when we're in his will. That's when we operate in accordance to his will and we're about his business. And then it's kingdom. We're not going to build our own kingdom. We're going to build the kingdom. This is what he wants. So when we come back, I want to really nail this home, because pivotal time. The currency is going to be changing in the next 5 to 10 years, for sure. Definitely. I think before 2030. There's wars and rumors of wars. You know, you've got the just a lot of stuff changed. The world order is changing. China continues to advance itself on the world stage. Go down to South America, they'll tell you. Lots of changes. And in America, we're in a disaster. Drudge headline this week, darkness over America. So what does God want? We're going to finish this conversation when we come back. We'll be right back. All right, Pastor Todd Coconato here in the final segment of today's show. Hope you're enjoying this conversation. I know it's a difficult one. So let me kind of summarize here, okay? God's saying something. There's a lot of signs all around the world. Prophecy is coming to life. It's jumping off the pages of the Bible. There's an urgency in a lot of people's spirits. Some people are taking advantage of this. Some people are still buried in the sand and think nothing's going on. Similar to Nazi Germany, not going to affect me. The world order is definitely changing. We're going to see a new currency in the next couple years. They say that we'll own nothing and we'll love it. Now, whether we're going to allow that to happen, that's a different story. I don't know. Will President Trump become president again? A lot of people feel like he will. Some people feel like they won't allow him to. Even if he does become president, will he be able to do what he actually wants to do? That's a good question. You know, how deep is the deep state? How bad will it get? I mean, how, you know, will they have riots along, you know, American streets burning? I mean, who knows? We saw that last time. We do know that there's a lot of nefarious plans. There's cells that have come over the border, the southern border. People have talked about some of those cells being in states like Colorado, but we know they're all over the country. How many of these military-aged men are actually foreign nationals that are here to do damage? How much damage could they do at this point? Probably pretty significant. I mean, we know the sheriffs the sheriffs around the country got together not too long ago, a few months back, and they said that there are more red flags right now than pre-9/11. There's all different types of things that we can talk about. So, you know, you certainly could get caught up in what I call the doom and gloom train, because there's plenty to be concerned about. I mean, we didn't get into opioid addictions and fentanyl addictions and all that. I mean, that's a whole nother level, you know, or all the perversion stuff that these kids are doing and these very, very ungodly relationships that are being pushed in our society, what Obama referred to as the new norms. I call them demonic norms is what they are. So, you know, there's a lot that's been pushed. So, of course, the Christian in this hour is we're trying to get a grip. We're trying to figure it out. And so many of you that are listeners to this show, I call you remnant people. You understand these things, but even you are trying to figure out what is God saying? And so what I believe in that summation, as in this changing world, is that this is a time, just like it was in Nineveh, for America to repent, for the world to repent, for the nations of the world, for the church to repent, and for us to get back to our first love, to be serious about our faith, to be serious about the way we raise our kids, the time that we're spending in the Word of God, what we're doing with our life, what we're doing with our day. Are we about kingdom business? Are we focusing on the Lord? Are we focusing on what He has us doing? Are we doing what we want to do? Are we living as business as usual? Are we understanding and discerning the times like the Issachar anointing? Because I believe that God is, in fact, looking to us, the church, which is His body. We are His body. And He's saying, okay, this is, it's go time. It's game on. 2-minute warning. Here's what you got to do. You got to be about my business. You got to go and make disciples. You got to get them saved, set free, healed, and delivered. If you don't like to do that, you got to learn how to. Because even if you don't like it, I've commissioned you to do it. You see what I'm saying? Look, is it about us? Is it about, you know, building our kingdom? Is it about our building our finances, our personal wealth? No, because you can't take those things with you. And we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so we're going to have to get out of the way and really focus on this is what we're looking at our church. Because I said a few weeks ago, and I'm sure some of you guys heard the broadcast, you know, if this is just going to be another church on another corner here in Nashville, then forget it. I might as well just pack up, do something else. Because I can honestly be more effective on media. I like doing these radio shows and podcasts because I'm in my lane. There's an anointing that God's given me to do this. So I could just do this. I don't need to have a church. The reason why we have the church is because we're trying to be the change. What we're trying to do is say, what does the scripture actually say that we're supposed to do when we get together? Exhort, encourage, go into the word in depth, allow for the Holy Spirit to move in freedom. You know, watching the demonstration, seeing people getting healed, signs and wonders, miracles, believing that God can do these things, having prayer meetings, equipping the folks, having different gatherings throughout the week. You know, trainings and you know, activating people to get them set up for success and so that they can go out and do the Great Commission, getting them fired up for the Lord, getting them healed, laying hands on the sick. I mean, this is the reason why we gather, to know Him and to make Him known. It's like a stationary revival meeting because we want the Holy Spirit to move. And so that's why we gather in person. Otherwise, I would just do the media stuff. Why do I need to have a church? I don't need to have a church. But the problem is that there's not a lot of churches doing that. Now, there are some. You may have one, maybe your church. But not a lot of churches are doing this. So what God is wanting from us is to be a history maker. You heard me right. He wants you to be a history maker. He wants you to step out of your comfort zone, to take a risk, to put on the big boy pants and the big girl pants, and step into the anointing that He has for you. Step into the call. There are people right now that are listening to me. And for whatever reason, you are afraid. Somebody's told you something bad's going to happen. Somebody told you that whatever, you're never going to make it. You're never going to succeed, this and that. And so you've been limited as to what you're able to do because you've allowed those words to hook into you. Maybe it's even your spouse, your parents, Whoever it is, somebody told you, you're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to be able to come. Well, they told that to Noah too, by the way. And so don't listen to those people. People told me that you're not going to be able to accomplish these things. People are going to laugh at the calling of God on your life. People are going to think it's not real. They're going to think no way that you're going to be able to accomplish that. But that's the whole thing. With God, nothing is impossible. If you're going to be an Esther, if you're going to be a David, if you're going to be a history maker, which I believe you're called to do, God is, what he's doing is he's setting this situation up for you to succeed. He's going before you like he did with the children of Israel. He's going before you like he did with the Gideon's 300. He's going before his ecclesia. All he's asking for us to do is have the faith and a step into the call. Do it. Do it now. Don't wait another day. The country's in peril. Darkness is over America. Literally a headline. Everywhere we look, there's evil, there's sin. But guess what? Guess who's also here? The church. Have we forgotten that? Has the devil forgotten that? The church is still here. We haven't been raptured out of here. The church is the restraining force to the plan of the enemy. Sure, the enemy has a lot of plans. I went through a lot of them in today's show. He's got all kinds of plans. I believe we could thwart and stop that CBDC nonsense. I know it sounds big. It sounds crazy. How are we going to do that? I think they're trying to hasten in the tribulation. I think the devil's overplayed his hand. But what we need to do is rise up and do what we're called to do and have it be the boldness that's inside of us has to come out of us right now. And we're going to have to step into the extraordinary. We're going to have to learn to get out of the boat. And this is a daily thing. Because if you're overwhelmed right now, you say, well, I have some big vision, but I don't even know how to start. It's a daily thing. Get up, make your bed. That's right, make your bed. Don't let your life be in disarray. You know, start being responsible in your situation. Don't overspend. Don't overeat. Get your body healthy. Get your mind right. Get rid of the negative influences in your life. Stop listening to the negative Nellies. Don't yoke with unbelievers. See, there's a lot of stuff that God has called us to do. And if we obey and listen and then wake up and do whatever it is that God has for us that day, collectively, that's what changes things. See, maybe it's that one person that God has you to speak to at that coffee shop that you might be a little timid and maybe you don't want to witness to them, but God has put it on your heart. And when you obey and you do that, that person's life is affected. Their life is changed. And then there's a chain reaction of events that happens just from that one obedient thing that you did. You see what I'm saying? See, we're looking at such a big picture and we're seeing all these major things in the world. We're thinking, how can I possibly do anything? But what God is saying is, look, I'm not calling you to change everything. I'm just calling you to do what I'm calling you to do. And if you can do just that, you do your part. Some people will have a bigger influence than others, but it doesn't matter because as long as you're doing what you're called to do, that's what you're called to do. And God will bless it and he'll bless you. And so what God wants is for us to say yes. What God wants is for us to trust him. What God wants is for us to do what he's called us to do. And that means to be obedient to not only his word, but what his Holy Spirit's saying. And when we do this, things change. And so we are at a pivotal moment. And listen, I understand why some folks were worried about the eclipse because of all the signs simultaneously happening. I'm not mocking you, but I'm just saying what we have to start doing is not only walking in discernment and seeking the Holy Spirit in our prayer time, but we've got to wake up and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We'll get pointed in our prayer. Pointed. Listen to Firepower from last week if you haven't listened to it. Mario Murillo and I went through how to get pointed in your prayer so that you know how to effectively pray. Because the effectual firm prayer of a righteous man avails much. Pray without ceasing. The Lord says he hears the prayers. He inhabits our praises. We've got to do something. There's still too many folks that are doing nothing and all they're doing is consuming junk food. And God is saying, get healthy, get your mind right, and do what I've called you to do. That's what he wants. You don't have to take on everything. Pick and choose your battles. You don't have to take on every battle that's out there. You take on the battles that God has for you and you watch what he does. He's going to move it. Move that mountain. All right, friends. Love you. We'll be back next week. Hey, friends. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's important broadcast. We are about to embark on a mission We're going to 20 cities in the next few months. It's going to be crazy, but we're going to do it. We'll start announcing more of the dates, but our first one is this weekend in Austin. So please pray for us. And if you'd like to support this mission and the many other things that we're doing, it's David versus Goliath over here. We really need your support and appreciate your support. You can go to PastorTodd.org or ToddCoconato.com/give. Thank you for partnering with us in this very important mission. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name.